There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Watch the brand new documentary, Gamertag Radio, a podcast story, now for free on YouTube. Go to story.gamertagradio.com.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Worldwide.
Podcasting since 2005.
Take it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Back on the scene.
With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go.
What's up, everybody? Peter here with Gamertag Radio for episode 743. I am obviously Peter. And I got my good friend Paris on the other side of the microphone.
Allow myself to introduce myself. This is Richie Twice. Cunningham, and I'm Oprah. No, what's going on, man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing?
No, I'm good. I'm good. I want to give a quick shout out right off the top. I was on the Destiny Tracker podcast a couple days ago, which that episode should be coming out either today or tomorrow. And I had a great time on there. You know, obviously we talked about Destiny. I mean, that's their main focus, but we talked about just any and everything that was going on in gaming over the past week. So it was a lot of fun. Shout out to Jay over there. I believe he just got a full ride to Full Sail. I think he's getting into game development. I don't want to overspeak for him, but, you know, shout out to him. Had a great time and, hope I get a chance to go on again. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, actually, I was lurking in the background, throwing in emotes every once in a while. It was a great conversation all around.
Yeah, I thought it was. Yeah,
shout out to that. Shout out to those guys.
Didn't have to talk to you or Danny, so that's always a good thing.
That's always a bonus, right? Well, as you can see, we have no Danny here this week. I'm hosting the show along with my man, and you know, good luck to Danny. He'll be back later on. I think it's Wednesday. He's back on the show.
Yeah, he should be back Wednesday. Well, actually, through the power of technology, he'll be on this episode as well. From Atlanta. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Anyways, before we get started with the rest of the show, let's go ahead and knock out some of the regulars. Check us out on Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, all of the other podcast directories. You want to leave us a fan mail, greatly appreciated. 786-273-7GTR. You can also hit us up on SpeakPipe at speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
With all that in mind, let's talk about, I guess for me personally, the biggest news this week, The Division 2 gets formally announced by Ubisoft. Would you say that this was the worst kept secret of 2018?
I wouldn't go as far as to say it's the worst kept secret, because a lot of the commentary around, and look, like I'm the Division expert now, just got my ass on there like 2 months ago, but a lot of people from just some of the vids and just some of I've been starting to learn some of like the content creator personalities, like Marco style is a big one. And he had been speculating for the longest a sequel was likely, but it wouldn't have shocked them to continue to build upon what they've already done with the first Division and basically just release a huge expansion update. You know what I mean? But I think. In this case, for The Division, it makes a lot of sense to come out with a full sequel, because they can – hi, Bungie. They can keep the momentum going with what they've done from the first game with all the changes that they've made, you know, in the past couple years. But there's obviously a lot of bugs. The net code is kind of bad in this original game. So this kind of gives them a blank canvas to fix the back end stuff, but keep all the positive – gameplay changes that they've made from the first one, introduce a new environment, etc., like that. So if Massive does this right, dude, this honestly, this is their opportunity, because we're speculating, but I would assume this game probably comes out spring 2019, mid 2019, up in there somewhere. So this is their opportunity to keep that momentum going with this 1.8 update. I know they're going to have a couple more changes the rest of the year for the first game. Market the hell out of Division 2 at E3, get people excited about it, kind of do some incentive things to get people, you know, like, you know, discount the original game, get people actually playing the current Division now in 2018. And then by the time that 2019 rolls around, I mean, the hype meter is, you know, off the chart. So people will be excited to want to go pick up that sequel. And now you have that chance to fix all the bugs, you know, fix the dark zone, you know, for a lot of cheating that goes on in there. Introduce some new gameplay modes, you know, iterate on some of the current game modes that you already have in there, like this whole global events and everything they're doing. And it has an opportunity to be the number one looter shooter, you know, by next year. It really does. Because look, obviously, with Destiny, we know all the work that Bungie needs to do to try and fix that game. Anthem just lost their lead writer, so who the hell knows what's going to happen with Anthem next year. I mean, they obviously got a lot to prove at EA Play this year as well. So this is a golden opportunity for Massive, and it goes to show that they could have bailed on this with the early problems that the Division had. I mean, hell, you know, I was on this show like, man, I don't know about this game. I don't see no end game in this. I'm not playing it. And now I am playing it, and they fix so many things in there. There's so many things to do on the end game. I'm excited for it personally. Like I said, I think this is a golden opportunity for them to grab this new genre of the looter shooter by the reins and be the leader.
Yep. 100% agree. I think 1.8 did a lot with regards to bringing them closer to where that transition from, you know, the first game going into Division 2. And it's not the end of it, right? The 1.8 update isn't the end of their update track. They still have, I want to say, two additional legendary missions, yep. Amherst and Grand Central, coming up in April. Mm-hmm. Also in April, Xbox One X patch comes out. That brings it up to 4K glory. And then there's more stuff coming in June leading into their E3 announcement to drop all the additional details that people are doing. There's also now shield achievements in game that unlock items for use in the sequel. So it seems like they've taken that transition path, and honestly, they've had 2 years now to knock out all the bugs, figure out what works for them, kind of grab a hold of the landscape and say, okay, what's going on? What are people doing that works? What are people not, you know, doing that doesn't work? Let's see if we can avoid that. You know, so shout out to them for doing this. Knowing that you have just gotten in, you've now gotten into the Division, which I think is great, because I know, like you mentioned, early last year when you and I went to that first event, I think, no, it was 2 years ago.
It was 2016, January 2016.
Yeah. We went to it, and you walked out of there like, yeah, this is not going to last. And, you know, I was on the freight train. I was holding on, I was holding on with my bus pass, and I was like, no, man, it's going to be good. Seeing that transition, seeing how they've gone from great to tank, and now they're back up on this upward slope, you've seen that entire transition. Now that you're actually playing it actively, what do you see in the game that you like? And is there anything in there that you still either don't like or don't fully grasp?
I'll start with what I don't like. I feel like they have this great world of New York right now. It's amazing. I love what Massive has done. I mean, it's literally took a snapshot of New York, and they're like, let's throw garbage cans around everywhere and make it look like the apocalypse happened. And it's great. It really is. But it's kind of lifeless in certain areas where, you know, there's just not anything going on for long stretches. And then you'll run into some enemies, and you'll have some action that goes on there. And that's great. But I would like to see more life in the environment, if that makes sense. The inventory is not that great, for lack of a better term. I mean, I'm used to it now, but I can see someone, a novice coming in, they're going to struggle with it early on. But so that'll take a little bit to get used to. So I'd like to see them kind of rework the inventory system. Weapon wise, I'm mostly okay with the weapons. I do think they need some more variety in the mid tier, if that makes sense. I understand early on, you know, the common weapons, you're not going to see too much variety with, but once we start getting into that rare and legendary tier, I would like to see a little more variety with that. I'd like to see a little more with the mod system that comes with, you know, crafting and all that with the mods. Mm-hmm. So, but these things are fixable. It's not anything that they can't look at, get feedback from, which I'm sure they've been getting for the past 2 years and fix it. Cause, you know, obviously you see now with classified weapons, obviously everything they're doing, the global events, this is kind of their answer to that. So I'm fine on that. What I do like is all the variety of game modes that they put on the end game. Now, none of that stuff existed back in January 2016. When they were like, well, you can get a pink gun. And I was like, oh, this ain't enough, man. Y'all need more. But, you know, like the survival modes that they had, the incursions, all that stuff that you have now in the Division, it's a lot of fun. Now, another thing I feel like, because I've mostly played this game solo, I grouped up with you and a few other people every now and again. More a better system to get people together, I guess. I mean, I know like you can go in one of safe houses and then you can basically just randomly match with people, but I don't even have the answer to this yet. This is, I'm sure, something they're trying to figure out as well, but just something to encourage more co-op gameplay outside of just you, outside of the game grabbing you or your friends. More of a thing.
I see what you mean.
You know what I'm saying?
More of like a drop in, drop out of random players. Like, yeah, you're actually seeing them. So you'll actually see them when you do like survival mode. Mm-hmm. Survival mode is a lot of fun. It's something I would recommend investing time in. It's not something that's like, you know, you can just jump in for 30 minutes. No, it's about an hour and change long minimum. Yeah. But yeah, I can definitely see how being able to interact with other people in the game would be a great opportunity to not just get cohesion with other players, but just to get you more invested in the game, right? It's not just, so you can play with others, right? Like, I can just jump into your game at any given time, provided that we're friends on Uplay. But outside of that, the only time you really see other people is when you force yourself to group up into an event, or you go into, let's say, the Dark Zone, and then you're just going to see everybody, and it's a free for all at that point.
Yeah.
So I'd probably say that's the best. I think that's probably a safe assumption. I'd like to see more survival. And I don't know if that's something that they can do within the next year. So, you know, because provided they're stockpiling resources now so that they can start iterating and developing towards the Division 2. I don't know when the launch title is going to be. I think with the amount of content that they're pushing out over the next 6 months, I wouldn't be surprised for a 2019 launch. I think that's the safe assumption. I hope they're not trying to do this in the holiday season for 2018.
I doubt it. I really doubt that. I mean, again, they announced it on the 2 year anniversary of the game. So it would make sense that they're probably, and this is Ubisoft. I mean, this is pretty much Ubisoft's track record. When they'll announce something and it's about a good year before you actually see it come to fruition. So, and don't be shocked if it's delayed until like holiday 2019. That wouldn't surprise me either, but I would say at the earliest expected March 2019.
Imagine if they did 2020 with the new launch of
they'll lose momentum. If that was the case, I think they'd lose momentum if they waited until 2020. That's way too long. Again, shout out to Danny. That'd be way too long to announce the game and then sit on it and not actually put it out. But going back to what you're saying about with E3, I kind of think with they're still going to be making changes well into June, or updates well into June. I got a feeling part of the E3 announcement is to, like I was saying earlier, get people to actually start playing the current Division. So don't be shocked if it went free to play. It would not shock me, or heavily discounted to like $10, $15, something like that. Just give people an incentive to want to go pick it up and actually try it. This goes back to the whole Game Pass analogy. Like, right. It may not be something on your radar, but if it's cheap enough, you might say, you know what, why not? I'll go pick it up. I'll go play it. Also, like, you know, you alluded to before, they're going to have an Xbox One X 4K enhancement update as well. So I get people on the Xbox more incentive to go play it. I don't know about on PlayStation 4. I don't know if the Pro is getting any kind of update, but like you and I play on PC. I mean, it just looks right. Phenomenal. I mean, I play it in 4K 60 and it's amazing to look at, you know, just graphically. Yeah. So, I mean, like I said before, I'm very excited for it. Obviously, you know how big I am into Destiny and how much I love that game. And obviously all the issues that it's having, you know, just to transition to that for just a second. I was talking about this on Destiny Tracker, and I mean, that fall expansion will have to be huge. It's going to have to literally be a new game when that fall expansion comes out. And even then, I'm not sure that's enough, you know, for what Bungie needs to do to fix Destiny 2. Because from what I'm seeing right now, all these changes that they're making, because they just came out with an update and they just chronicled the March update, and then they're going to have another update in May. And then obviously we'll probably get a big expansion in the fall. Basically, it sounds like all these updates are just getting it back to where it was with Destiny 1. And if that's all it is, by the time we get to the fall, people aren't coming back, man. They're just not. They're just simply not going to come back. That's not going to be enough.
I think that's a great segue. I've been so like agnostic to the whole, you know, to all of Destiny. I've literally dropped off the bandwagon hard. For those that don't know about that new change or quality of life update, as you like to call it, what is involved in that? Well, like, what did they bring out?
You know what? I'm not going to go way too in depth on it because I mean,
no, we don't have to.
Yeah. It's just they're making a lot of sandbox changes. They're making some weapon tuning changes. They're making some quality of life changes, like on the PvP side. Like, you're going to be able to get your super quicker. Your movement speed's going to be quicker. Things like that. Like I said, on the weapon side, a lot of the weapons are getting buffs and not nerfs because, you know, history of Destiny, when they go in and make weapon changes, they typically nerf things, but instead they're buffing a lot of the weapons. And like they're taking something like Uriel's Gift as an example, which has been a very dominant auto rifle in PvP. That is getting a slight nerf to kind of just bring it back to the pack to promote, you know, they're bringing other weapons up, bringing a weapon like that down to promote variety. So not everyone's just using the same thing over and over. You know, 6v6 is coming to Iron Banner. They're doing an 8-man rumble mode, things like that. These are things, honestly, that should have been in the game day freaking one. Because again, I'll just the 6v6 Iron Banner, I'll just touch on that really quick. If you remember when I went to that May reveal event almost a year ago, I said it then. Why the hell are you forcing us to do 4v4? I said it in the interview I did with Mark Noseworthy. I said it, like I told you, when I got to sit down with Pete Parsons and Jason Jones with Deej. I said it to them directly. I'm like, dude, I don't know about this. You're taking away features that my son and I enjoy playing together, and you're forcing us into one mode. And, you know, try to be patient. Let's see how it plays out. And here we are. They're basically going back to what they had with Destiny 1. We still don't even have private matches yet, which was why wasn't that there day one? See, and again, I'm not trying to go way in depth on this, but these are the things that they're trying to fix now just to get back to where they were. And it's like, okay, now we're back to where we were a year ago. Now what? Where did, again, talking about a sequel, how is this worthy of being a sequel at this point? So these are the questions that they're going to have to answer over the next 6 months. And kind of like I said on Destiny Tracker, you know, they'll come out at E3, they'll show that expansion. I'm sure the marketing on it will be fantastic, but they're literally going to have to spend the rest of the summer marketing the hell out of this game and prove to their community to come back. And the thing that I was saying is, they need to get people, you know, like Mesa Sean and More Console and Bife and all that. Look, I'm not going to include myself in that, but they need to get these kind of people active playing the game over the summer, giving real feedback, convincing their community to come back. I mean, it's literally a sales job all over again for them. Whereas, like I said, a year ago, Destiny 2 should have been a freaking layup, an absolute layup. Yeah. And here we are now. So it's crazy.
Yeah.
Which, oh, one last thing. Gathalion, I watched a YouTube video with him. It just randomly popped up in my feed and I watched it. And he basically was explaining why he left. And it all made sense. I ain't mad at him. You got to do what you got to do because you got to keep putting food on the plate. And he's going to be a variety streamer from now on. And he's not going to brand himself towards one game again, which is smart, you know. And he just used Destiny as example to explain why that is a dangerous thing to do. And, you know,
absolutely,
you like him, hate him, doesn't matter. But what he said was the truth. And it made a lot of sense in the streaming world. So, you know, they're still doing Guardian Con and things like that. But I'm even worried about Guardian Con past this year. I mean, if the community's drying up, why the hell are you doing a community event around a game that no one plays? So, again, yeah. Bungie has a lot of work to do. So I'll shut up about it.
No, that's good. I just I'm glad that they're working towards a repair or a fixing of what they're doing. And it makes sense. Right. And what you were saying with the variety streamer as opposed to tying yourself down, that's, you know, being dynamic in the online space is very, very important. You can't put all your eggs in one basket, because the moment that that one game, as we saw with Destiny 2, the moment that that goes down for whatever reason, you're dead in the water. And especially if you're in the case of like Gathalion and all those others, if that's the way you're bringing food, you're putting food on the table and paying rent and stuff like that, that's the last thing you want to do is limit yourself. So next thing I wanted to talk about, we'll stay with the shooter space, you know, for now, then we'll transition to the other stuff. Fortnite. Like, all of a sudden, now they're doing this mobile announcement.
Too much.
And on top of, yeah. And so we'll segue back and forth on that. I agree. I think you and I agreed with that. I know there were some others that were excited about the mobile announcement, but I think it's a little too much. I think they've got an amazing thing going now with Fortnite, the way that it's exploded over the last month and a half, 2 months. We knew that it was already, you know, starting to get neck and neck over the last 3 months with PUBG, obviously the grill in the room. But now that it's surpassed it, it's been an amazing transition. And I think unless they're able to split off development of that completely, I hope it doesn't take away from the growth of the current iteration of it, the way that they've been adding modes, you know, the 20v20 thing that they're doing. But now the latest thing that they announced, and I'm curious to see if you have the same opinion of too much, crossplay. They announced Friday?
Yeah.
I believe it was.
Yeah, I think it was Friday.
Crossplay is coming soon to Microsoft Xbox only. Now, I don't know if PC is involved in that. That's not something that I was able to read into, so I'm not 100% if...
Well, it has to be. It has to be PC, because that's basically what they're saying, is Xbox players will be able to play with PC players. But, you know...
It's cross-play,
yeah,
cross-progression, and cross-purchase between Xbox One, PC, Mac, and iOS versions of the game. So yeah. If you're on your iPad or your iPhone, you can play against players that are on PC and or Xbox and have that same progression get shared across. You and I talked about this with Destiny, you know, a year or two ago, thinking that that would be an amazing opportunity for Activision. And it seems like Epic is kind of taking the reins on that one now. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think, because I know you said with the mobile version, it might be too much. Do you think that this is the right thing? We know, I want to say earlier last year, there was a slip up where they enabled PS4 crossplay.
Yeah.
It was ripped out.
Yeah. It got ripped out really quick, which again, just goes to show you it's a political thing that we're not seeing it. It's not a technology thing. It's a political thing. It's a marketing thing.
Right. And it's interesting to see, their announcement itself of, you know, how it was funny, guys. It was the first line in the actual announcement was like, contrary to popular belief or something to that effect, Microsoft is not against it. And they're proving it by opening it up and saying, you know, we're going to be partnering with Microsoft to do crossplay for their game. Going back to what I was talking about earlier, do you think that now opening up crossplay between platforms is too much for this?
No. That's fine. I'm perfectly fine with doing cross play across my God, I just had my Austin Powers moment. Doing crossplay across platforms. God, that's a mouthful to say. I'm fine with that. I think that just promotes a bigger community, or just a bigger pool of people to play against. That's fine. When I say I think they're doing too much, it's going into the mobile space this quickly, I feel. You know, and I understand the popularity of the game. It is literally taking over, like, Twitch and everything. It's super popular right now. I get it. Mm-hmm. I just worry about Epic as a studio having they're trying to juggle too many plates, right? That's my only thing with it. If it works, great. That's fine. I've personally still not played the game, so I am speaking from a point of ignorance when it comes to all that. I'm just from the outside looking in. I just hope they're not doing too much. That's all. But the crossplay of it, every game, I mean, in a perfect world, every online game, regardless of platform, should be connected in some way, I think. One that I play is Gwent. Gwent does crossplay between Xbox and PC, and I play against Xbox players all the time. I mean, it's fine. And I know there was some concern about putting Fortnite on crossplay is a mistake because PC players are going to school Xbox players. As long as it's optional, hey, it's a choice. You know, if you think you Billy Badass with a controller and you want to go in there with the PC people, knock yourself out. If you realize that it's not working, then you just go back to a console only playlist. Same goes for the mobile people that would jump in as well.
Right. We'll see how they play that out. It'll be interesting to see. I think it's fantastic, and I agree with you 100%. It's not a technology thing, right? Like you say, it's a political thing, and we hope, at least I do, I'm pretty sure you and Danny will eventually too. I hope that this is the next step so that we're now platform agnostic. And if we want to play PC versus PS4 or PS4 versus Nintendo or whatever combination you want to throw at it, I hope this is that first step that launches cross-platform initiatives across every game, right? I would love to be able to do this and not care whether, you know, I'm playing Destiny 2 or I'm playing The Division 26 or if I'm playing PUBG 7 or whatever. I don't care that if I can play cross-play with anybody that's playing the game, regardless of platform, I think it's a win-win, and I hope that this is the step in the right direction for that.
There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of. I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
At LV, our home insurance comes from the heart. It's not just about giving you a personal claims handler to take care of you all the way. It's about looking after you in other ways too. Like when you go direct to us, buy online and get a massive 25% discount. To see how much you could save with the Which Insurance Provider of the Year 2017, go direct to lv.com. Online discount for new customers only, excludes home emergency and home legal expenses.
Back on the scene. This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
Hey, Gamertag Radio listeners, we're going to take a short break from Pete and Paris. This is my part one of my coverage live from Atlanta. I'm here for Call of Duty World League Atlanta 2018. It's been a great, great event. Been having a blast and, you know, checking out all the teams competing and everything. And I do have a lot of interviews from the event, so I'm going to split into two parts. So in part one, we have esports director from Call of Duty, Kevin Flynn. Kevin is super, super cool. We had a great conversation. Plus, there was a team that got my attention a lot that I was like, man, I want to get them on the show. They competed with Optic Gaming, and they are from all the way from Spain. This is the first time that I've seen a team from Spain competing in the grand, you know, in the stage and everything. So I also interviewed them during the event. So yeah, we have a lot of content for this episode of Gamer Tag Radio. So hopefully you like it, and we'll be right back after this. Enjoy. All right. Once again, we have Kevin. One of the greatest conversations we had earlier today, but we're going to talk about that later. Kevin, what's up, man? Welcome back to the show, man.
No, thank you. Really pleased for you guys to have me back. Yeah. I've been following you since our last chat. So yeah, great to see you in Atlanta. Cool.
All right, so tell us a little bit what's going on over here in Atlanta. And I know there's going to be other events going on after this. It's going to be pretty big. First time going to, I believe, the UK, right? You're going to have an event over there. So tell us, man. Tell us about that.
So, I mean, we're probably about halfway through the season now, or we're approaching the halfway point. This is our third major sort of global open weekend and stepped up here in Atlanta, like back again from last year, and couple of thousand people in the room every day, and you can hear the TK chants right now as we speak, and great energy in the room, which is really awesome. Our Pro League has been going at a great pace. We've been seeing really elite level Call of Duty sort of every single week in the Pro League, which is awesome. So they're just 2 weeks away from Division B settling with their standings, and then we're in playoffs. So that's all carrying on at a great pace. And like you said, we're going to Birmingham and we're taking a global open there for the first time. It's exciting because it's going to be at the end of March, beginning of April, so just a few weeks away, and then a few weeks after that we're in Seattle, so lots to happen still, and that's not even mentioning us going back to Anaheim like we do, because obviously it's like our spiritual home, right, for Call of Duty esports. So lots going on, lots of good stuff going on, and yeah, happy with how things are going.
And how's that going to work, you know, because the time difference, it's like East Coast, is it five hours or so? So how's that going to work for people that want to tune in and watch it live on Twitch?
I mean, probably a similar way to how it works if Europeans want to watch it here, right? I mean, it's not going to be ideal, but we're really excited about taking the CWL on such a big scale to Europe, mainly, you know, and the UK specifically. So, I mean, it's not going to be ideal, but the team who we're working with for that event are in a great spot, and the production and the show will be the high quality people are used to. So hopefully they'll be able to tune in regardless.
One thing that I remember, man, in New Orleans, I was right next to you during the finals. It was TK versus... Oh man, yeah, it was one of the greatest matches I ever seen, man. You were jumping too. Everybody was like cracking, you know, screaming and going wild, man. How was that, man, seeing that?
I mean, that was crazy, right? I mean, like, what was that second series? Didn't it start with a 1 point difference hard point, right? So it's 250, 249 hard point. I think the SND went round 11, 1v1. CTF went to overtime. I mean, that was crazy. But it wasn't just the closeness of the matches, right? And seeing two teams really at the peak of their powers, it was just high quality Call of Duty, like, and it was great to be in the room and watch it. Like, but yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get one the same. But for me, I mean, that's up there with any grand final I can think of. Going back to, I mean, maybe Black Ops 2 Champs. I mean, but it was up there. Like, it was legit.
Okay, so I know we were having this conversation earlier, you know, and we have a lot of listeners that are into hip hop and all that stuff. So the conversation was on Twitter about albums back to back, classic albums back to back, back to back. Yeah, three times, right? From different artists and stuff. So your opinion, because I posted Tricor Quest, and you came up to me, you're like, that's a good one, but I have other ones. So your choices so far.
Tribe was a strong shout.
That's a classic.
I definitely liked your tweet there. Yeah. But when we talked, I know people mentioned Kendrick. Yeah. I'm not sure the second album keeps the quality level up. I'd probably go Kanye's first three records.
That's a good one.
Yeah, like College Dropout. Yeah. Jeez, I mean, that was a sensational album. Kanye's probably the one for me. Like, if I was going to say, but like his first three, I'm an old Kanye, not a new Kanye fan.
All right. So, if there's someone that is trying out, or a team they're trying out for CWL, and while practicing, they want to jam to some tracks while practicing for CWL, which one you would recommend for them to listen to while they're playing Call of Duty?
Do you know what? None of them. If you want to be hype, like really hyped, and I hope I'm allowed to say this with the PR guy there, right? If you really want to get it, and this is that, like, I don't go to the gym much. You can tell that looking at me, right? That's fine. But if I did go to the gym, 50 Cent's first record, Get Rich or Die Trying. Oh, okay. Banger after banger.
There you go.
Like,
you
seriously.
That's a classic too, yeah.
Oh my gosh, underrated classic. Yeah. Underrated. It doesn't get the credit it deserves. That is a great album.
Yeah.
And it's got energy and pace. But then also, maybe I'm showing my age there a little bit.
Cool, man. But thanks a lot. And for those who want to know more information about Call of Duty War League.
Yeah, I mean, follow us on COD World League on Twitter. Follow at MLG as well. They're also available on Instagram. And yeah, just keep up to date with the players. And
you hear the crowd.
No, I don't know what's happening.
I don't know if it's a concert or what. What's going on?
But yeah, just follow those guys. And, you know, just keep following like people like Maven, the caster, and the top players. And yeah, just like we welcome any and all fans. Like we love interacting and engaging with people. And, you know, if you're lucky and fortunate enough where maybe there's an event nearby, be it England and Birmingham or Seattle, Anaheim, either of the Pro League playoffs, we'd love to see you come down and join us. Like, that would be awesome.
You know, I forgot to ask you this question, man. You know, there's a lot of upcoming casters that want to do this, you know, for Call of Duty War League or the events. Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, I mean, one person I'll call out is Dirk. Now he's here doing the Bravo stream this weekend, but he's done a great job with the national circuit for the USA. He casts that every Friday, and I think his attitude has been spot on. Like, he's gone for it. He's really grabbed that opportunity. But you also look at someone like Momo, Philip Whitfield, who last year came on board for CWL, and now he's you know, he's moved over here, and you know, he's based himself in America, with, you know, working with us more full time. So I think there's a couple of great role models for people to follow. But yeah, get your reps in where you can. Like, get your practice in if you're streaming or whatever, and
yeah, start underground, right? Yes. Like in hip hop too. Start underground, and you can
never avoid the grind.
Yeah, right, but thanks a lot, Kevin.
No, you're welcome, man. Thanks for coming again.
Cool, man.
Wicked.
There you go.
That was fun.
My name is Philip Whitfield, aka Momo, in the Call of Duty esports scene.
And how long have you been doing this now?
Now, I was a professional player for 4 years over in Europe. I then transitioned to the caster or talent role about 3 years ago now, but I came to America 2018, pretty much the start of the year, and it's been awesome so far.
And how's been the process, man, doing that, you know, being from a pro player to a caster? How's that been?
A lot less stressful. Obviously, being a player, you would play kind of 8-10 hours a day. You'd put a lot of effort in. You'd go to events. You'd obviously sometimes come away very disappointed, disheartened. Now being, you know, part of the talent, being part of the casters, you know, we get to experience all the best games all around the world. We have a lot of fun doing it as well. We're a great bunch of friends. And honestly, like, I find this a lot easier. The stress is gone, yet the fun has remained.
And I know there is probably up-and-coming casters that want to do the same thing too. Do you have any advice for them? And what's the right way for them to start?
Yeah, I mean, we get asked this question obviously a lot being casters. And I always say to people who want to get into it, you're never going to get that phone call overnight of, hi, do you want to commentate MLG? You've got to maybe commentate over some of your friends' gameplay or your own gameplay, or, you know, just a scrim or something like that. So, you know, record that, upload it, get some feedback from just your friends, and, you know, go from there. Always have something to offer and always have something to show, because I would say 99% of people will apply for a casting role and not have an example of, here's what I did on my own, or here's what I've done at another event. And the biggest thing I will always say is take every opportunity. For example, my first one, you know, I had to pay to go. I had to pay to stay there. But I just wanted to go and get some experience. So getting that first foot through the door is very important.
And what has it been going on now this whole weekend, man? Any predictions you think was going to happen?
Yeah, I mean, I've got Luminosity Gaming taking CWL Atlanta. I know there's a lot of people looking at Ryze, TK, Optic. But the great thing is, like, 7, maybe 8 teams can win this event realistically. And my favorite is Luminosity Game, and that's kind of my pick. However, I'm from Europe. I like to support the European boys. They're not doing too well at the moment, so I'm hoping, you know, today being Saturday, they can pick it up.
Was there any surprises? Any team that surprised you this weekend?
So far, I'm looking ERA. ERA are looking very good in their pool play. They had what, quote unquote, the pool of death. They've done very, very well. They beat Optic Gaming, and I think they can go, you know, quite far into the tournament. But right now, as we're recording this, those open bracket teams are coming into the pool play. So this is maybe where we see those upsets.
All right, so if anybody want to follow you online, social media, you want to mention it?
Yeah, I mean, you can follow me on all the major social medias, at Twitter, Snapchat, and Facebook and everything. But the main one is Twitter. It's PhilWhi7, or PhilWhi7. My name's Philip Whitfield. It's the shortened version. Don't ask me why. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Cool. Thanks a lot, man.
Thank you very much.
My name is Clint Maven Evans. I work as on-air talent for Activision Blizzard.
And how long have you been doing it?
I have been doing it, the commentating, for probably 5 or so years full-time the past 3 or so. You can certainly say there was a bit of luck involved. I actually I competed in Halo CE way back in the day. My first MLG event was Seattle 2004. I was never a professional player, but... amateur, we could say, but maybe semi-pro. But I went to a lot of events. I knew a lot of the guys in the Major League Gaming staff. Went to a lot of events through Halo 1 and Halo 2. Went to college, got my degree. Didn't really follow esports as much for a little bit there. And then once I got out, started syncing up with some of my old pals from the industry. And they got me into a Cast 1 event after I streamed some games a little bit. And suddenly now I'm here. So, yeah, some of it was, you know, networking from back in the day. Some of it. Certainly a little bit of luck, and I mean, I've got a real passion for that. That helped me as well.
How was it your first time casting? Were you nervous, super nervous, or you really already like used to doing that?
I think partly the fact that I got my degree in marketing and I had a lot of jobs in sales. So I already had to deal with speaking in front of people and, I don't know, one-on-one conversations. I never really am someone that got nervous. I have a very outgoing personality. So I remember the first time I casted was like when the camera first came on, I was nervous for a moment. It was like the first 30 seconds I felt really nervous. After that, not really again. I feel really comfortable with it. I think it's one of the things that's probably helped me excel. It's definitely not the easiest job to probably do if you're incredibly nervous, but I've never really had that. I think this goes back to kind of how my personality is, and I don't know, I'll be honest, I kind of enjoy the spotlight.
Was there any moments, any highlights from the past, from all the moments that you've been casting to?
I think some of the highlights that stand out for me are probably the last 2 years, casting the CWL Championship, you know, that's our big one. That's where we've got hundreds of thousands of people watching, you know, $1 million+ on the line. The last 2 years were the first times that I actually did the finals. Last year when Optic Gaming won, you know, we were in a stadium. It was incredible. The place was packed. And the atmosphere.
Orlando was there too.
Yeah, we were in Orlando. Just the atmosphere and everything, man. It was truly incredible. Don't get me wrong. Casting smaller events is fun too, but when you're in the middle of that sea of people that are cheering for everything, it's hard to replicate in anything else.
You know, I think you were also casting the finals from New Orleans too, right?
Yeah.
That was a crazy moment too. I think that was one of the craziest matches I've ever seen in my life.
Well, the if you're talking like craziest just maps, yeah. I mean, we had it was Hardpoint, London Docks, Luminosity versus Team Caliber. If you're not familiar with the game mode, it's sort of like King of the Hill in a way with a rotating hill. First team to 250 seconds win. And it was one of those situations where one team had 249, the other team was behind like 40 points, and they came back and won at 250, 249, and the place erupted. Me and my fellow commentator, Courage, just lost our goddamn minds. I mean, we were just screaming like crazy. I remember afterwards, I just started giggling. I had chills. It was a very, very cool experience.
That's the best part, man, because I think when you guys get hype, you get the crowd hype too, man. I think that's important, man. The thing is, you have to have fun doing your job. Because people can know when you're not into it, you know? You're sending that vibe to the audience.
That is certainly one of the first things I tell up-and-coming on-air talent people who want to be commentators. Like, you got to have fun, man. If you're not having fun, the viewer will be able to tell. It's really hard to be good at this job if you're not enjoying yourself. And that's something I strive to do, and I think we have a team that's really good at doing that. But, yeah, I mean, moments like that, there was actually – we didn't know it at the time, but MLG actually set up a camera that was on – Jack and I during the final, okay. And it was watching our reaction, and it actually got posted to social and blew up, yeah, because we were just like arms in the air, like sweating, screaming, and everyone's like, holy hell, we've never seen that side of it before. I'm like, yeah, when we're casting, we're not just sitting there like drones. We're certainly getting into the big moments, that's for sure.
All right, so quick question, is there any teams that surprised you so far this past weekend?
So far this weekend that has surprised me, I think one of the cool things for Open Bracket, at least, we just found out that there was Monaco, a French team, that made it into pool play. Heretics, a Spanish team, that made it into pool play. So I really like to see that. Outside, so basically four teams come out of that giant Open Bracket to make it into the pool play and play your top pro teams. So it was cool to see, well, first off, two teams aren't from North America, which we've been kind of the powerhouse for Call of Duty, so that's awesome to see. The other two teams that came out were more expected, Ghost Gaming and I believe GGEA Orange, which are like top North American amateur teams. So, yeah, I guess something like that where you see a top team in North American Complexity not come out, you see a team from France. I couldn't tell you any of the four players in the French team. Not even kidding. Never heard of any of them. That is a surprise in its own that they're going to make it into the championship pool play. That's cool. If you're talking about pool play, just with the top pro teams, I guess even though E-United has been struggling as of late, I expected them to turn up at a big event. You know, they got top six at the first two majors. They're now sitting like last in their pool. They have been horrific. Clayster, one of the top players, seems to be going off the deep end a little bit. They are struggling. The chemistry is not there, and they need to make a damn change.
Big time, big time. All right, man. So you want to mention your social media, anything, if somebody wants to follow you?
Sure, absolutely. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm just Maven. M-A-V-E-N, that is it. I don't use Instagram because I never take photos of myself. I rarely use Facebook because my mother just is on there constantly. It's only Twitter. That's basically everything I use.
Thanks a lot, man.
And thank you, man.
My name is Lucky, and I play for Team Heretics, and we are from Spain.
Yo soy Jurni, del equipo de Team Heretics, y venimos de España, Madrid.
All right. So, I'm proud of you guys because I think you guys are the first Spaniard team probably that got into this far in this competition. How does it feel to take it this far for your team?
I mean, pretty good. Our goal when we came here was to make it out of the open bracket and make it to groups, and we made it. And after that, we didn't really know which team we were going to play. And when we knew we were going to play Optic, Era, and United, we were like, what can we do now?
it's an honor, right?
Yeah. But it was pretty cool. And yeah.
Es como un sueño porque venimos aquí con unas expectativas normales de hacer un buen top y conseguir lo máximo posible. Y llegar al grupo ha sido brutal. O sea, ha sido una experiencia inolvidable en la que no se nos olvidará nunca, vaya.
He said that it's an incredible experience and he's not going to forget this never. And we came here because we are like an open bracket team. We came here to get as many pro points as possible and we finally get like 3,000 each and it's nice for us.
So was there anything that you guys learned while in the competition that you guys are going to make some change the next time?
Like I said, when we were playing United, for example, we didn't know how to expect about them because like at first we thought that they were going to stomp us, but when we really see the game like it progressed, we knew that our gun skill was like equal of them, but they were like a better teamwork team. But I think that's it. That's the difference between these guys that are the pros and between us, that they work really good together, and that's something that we need to work on.
What's next for you guys now? Are you guys planning to compete in the UK?
Yeah, in the next 2 weeks, it's Birmingham, the Open of Birmingham, and we are going to attend there. And like here, we are going to try to make it out to groups from the open bracket and see what's next.
How does it feel that, you know, Call of Duty War League is going to Europe?
How does it feel, man?
Because usually it's always in the States.
Yeah, we like that because when we came here, it's like a 12-hour plane and we get like so exhausted. And like in Birmingham, it's like near us, 2-hour plane, and it's cool.
It's not a long flight. All right, so any advice for those that are up and coming pro teams that also want to compete? Do you have any tips for them?
I mean, in Call of Duty, you just gotta believe in yourself and you can do whatever you propose. Because like in the open bracket, the team was like I said, you have to believe in yourself. You have to be confident that you can beat anyone. And it's like you lost one map, but it doesn't matter. You have two left and you can make the comeback. You have just to believe in yourself.
And I've seen those a lot of times too. So
I have been playing competitive Call of Duty when the jetpacks came out. Yeah. So I think it's pretty good, but I don't think the Black Ops 4 is going to be jetpacks. I think it's going to be on the ground, and I'm happy to be, because in this game, like it's both off the ground. I'm playing pretty good, so I hope.
Yeah, I mean, does it really matter that the game is in the past or in the future as a gamer or pro player? Is that matters for you guys?
For some players, it does. but some others, like, they just adapt pretty good. It depends on the player.
What about you?
Yo lo que pienso siempre, o sea, yo nunca he estado hypeado por un juego 5 meses antes, más que nada porque tú lo que tienes que concentrarte es en el juego actual, tienes que focusarte en jugar mejor en ese juego y lo que venga después te tienes que adaptar, tienes que saber cómo va el juego y a partir de ahí pues conseguir victorias.
He said that you just need to adapt to the game. It doesn't matter if it's jetpack or boot on the ground. And you just gotta win. You are trusting your teammates and just win.
Cool. Right, but thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks to you.
Thanks to you.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
The next thing I wanted to talk about, the next big announcement for this past week. This has been a great week for announcements. Nintendo Direct. Did you catch the whole thing live or did you?
No, I didn't. I know the big thing that came out of that was Smash Brothers. I have an opinion on that, but that's really the only thing that I followed that came out of that.
All right, let's hear it. I'm not a big Super Smash Brothers fan, so I know that I had talked about this a couple of weeks ago on the show, that if they do announce it for this, I guess that's going to be that's the ultimate finger to the rest of the consoles. There's always going to be the OGs who want to play on the analog and the 300-pound CRTs and stuff like that. But I think this is I think it's smart, and I think it's the next. It's smart for Nintendo to push their biggest titles, you know, out to the Switch and usher and push out the fading generations. I want to hear what I'm curious to hear what you wanted to say, because you kind of prefaced that.
Well, it's funny. I actually tend to side with what you were saying in our private chat, and I just chose not to respond because I wanted to do it on the show. my thing is this. My kids play Smash Brothers. I understand the popularity of it. I mean, you know, it is a phenomenal IP, mm-hmm. you know, which has a huge reach across the community. That's not disputed at all. But look, I am 44 years old, and there is no way in hell I am going to be on camera fainting and screaming that way and running around. To me, it was too much. To me, and this is where grumpy old man comes in. To me, it was, you knew a camera was on you, so let's overact. And mm-hmm. that's what I saw with a lot of those reactions. That's too much. It at the end of the day, it's a game. It's okay to be excited about it and cheer and clap and do all that kind of stuff, but it was just way over the top, some of that stuff. And it ain't like anyone was surprised that Smash Brothers was coming to the Switch. So what I'm saying is that announcement, which I think is a problem with just an overall problem we're seeing with today's social media, is, you know, we're playing too much to the camera on a lot of that stuff. And to me, it took away from the announcement, because all I did was roll my eyes. I'm like, oh, come on, really? It's great, but it ain't that damn great, you know? But that's just old man me. I'm sure someone slapped me on the hands for saying that, but that's just my opinion.
No, I 100% agree. I'm happy for the announcement, right? Let's not get that twisted. I'm happy for the announcement. But yeah, like we were talking about in the chat, that whole screaming and freaking out and grabbing things from your you know, your case of things on the left and just throwing them around and just freaking out, that's so immature, and it caters to that stereotype that we as gamers are immature and don't know how to control our actions. That's the wrong way to do it. And I think I just wish that we weren't going to be, you know, lumped into that one big group, as people want to get that attention and get that YouTube /Twitch/, you know, Instagram money. We're going to continue to see that, because, you know, that's what people see and or like. You know, I deal with it with my son, you know, on occasion, so whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. yeah,
I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but it's not the right thing. Me personally, and I agree, maybe, you know, put, you know, peg me as grumpy old gamer as well, but I think there's better ways to get a point, better ways to get your reaction across other than acting a fool
exactly.
On the camera.
And that's what I'm saying. It is okay to be excited. And I'll take you back to something with, I guess that was 2013, PlayStation 4 announcement. that was a magical thing to be in that audience that night when they said $3.99, you know, no DRM, you still have used games, the whole thing. Everyone was genuinely excited. And I love them, but I'm going to call them out and say this. The only person in that crowd, in my opinion, that overacted was Hip Hop Gamer. And I love Gerald. So this is nothing against him personally, but that's kind of the point I'm trying to make. Everyone stood up, cheered, excited. Yo, he's running up and down the aisles, doing the Fred sample, I'm coming home, Elizabeth, all that stuff. I was like, come on, that's too much. That's too much. But again, I'm just a grumpy old man. What do I know? I'm just pointing out what I see. And when I say that, like, as an example, if Destiny 3 came out and it was everything that I would want it to be and hit all the check boxes, of course I'm going to be excited about it. But I'm not going to start doing somersaults in the aisles and act like I'm
yelling at the top of your lungs.
Not doing that. And here's the problem. We just spent the last 5 minutes talking about the reaction to it and not the actual announcement that the game is coming out.
Yes.
And that's the thing. Very happy that it's coming out. Trust me, I'm probably going to have to buy a second damn Switch now because these kids are going to want to be fighting against each other and they're not going to want to share on the same. You know, I already see the scenario where they're going to want to battle each other and one's going to want to be upstairs and one's going to be downstairs and then one beats the other and they get mad and then it'll run out. You know, I already see the scenario with this, which is great. That's what I love. That's the popularity of Smash Brothers. And again, no brainer that it was coming to the Switch. It absolutely needed to come to the Switch. Danny just stealth told us that, yes, it's 2018. Great. Great.
All right.
That's great. That keeps the momentum of what Nintendo has been doing with the Switch, because now you have your heavy hitting AAA title this holiday. I would assume it's this holiday. So that's good for them. I'm glad to see that.
And then speaking of Splatoon, they've got story DLC coming out later this year as well. You know, so it's an actual expansion, $20 expansion. You're going to get actually story mode DLC. So fantastic for them. Crash Bandicoot coming back. I know you've been a fan. I think you're a fan of the Crash series.
Yeah, I'm a fan of it for sure.
Okay. Undertale makes its Nintendo debut as well. There's a Dark Souls amiibo coming. WarioWare is back.
Yeah.
All right. One last thing I wanted to talk about was, and I don't know if it's something that we had talked about. Obviously we've done some things with Far Cry 5, the co-op, you know, Danny and I played this, last week or a couple of weeks ago out in California, but now we're finding out that the co-op experience doesn't share your progression amongst both players. It's whoever hosts the game actually gets all that progression. So let's say me and you are playing Far Cry 5, right? And you're the one hosting. So I jump into your game and we do all of that work. Now I've got to go back and do all that work again on my own. Do you think that that's a bad thing? Like, what's your opinion on that? And is that something that's fixable?
I think it's something that will discourage people from wanting to do co-op. Until after you've done everything, you're going to want to go do the entire campaign yourself. And then if you want to go back and help someone through co-op or something, then you may want to go do it. I think that's the scenario that we're going to probably see. Is it fixable? I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if there's going to be a big enough demand that dev team's going to want to go back and change that. I mean, I guess we'll have to see when it comes out at launch.
I hope so. Cause I agree. It's a detractor towards wanting to play co-op, especially if, like, I do it with, you know, I do that. I spent 3 hours playing co-op with you and then I get to go back and do it again myself, or hope that you want to come back and go through that same iteration of levels and so that I can get the progression.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's something that could be fixed. Hopefully it's something that could be fixed either from a patch, or maybe they can push some kind of update or something before it goes gold and goes out into the wild. I mean, we've only got like 3 weeks, so yeah, I think it might be too late.
At this point, the
master release.
Right. Yeah. At this point, they're probably about to go gold, probably as soon as next week. So yeah, I seriously doubt that they would change anything before launch. But like I said, it's probably at this point, they're going to wait for community feedback on what they're going to do with regards to that.
All right. And now, so
I wanted to bring up one thing because I don't know if there's, I didn't see this in the notes and I had it on top of my head. So I want to make sure we got this in. What do you think about Black Ops 4.
Is it Black Ops? Yeah. Call of Duty 4?
Yeah.
4?
Yeah. Black Ops 4 coming out in October. What's your thoughts on that?
It's going to be the same as Infinite Warfare. I didn't buy it. And honestly, I don't know if I have, a desire to go back into the whole Call of Duty world. I was probably one of the few that enjoyed playing the single player, not as much as the multiplayer, obviously. And I cut my teeth basically on Gamertag Radio as being the Call of Duty fanboy. But it's no longer an appeal to me. And I don't know. And you go by the sales numbers, it's probably going to be the GOAT again in 2018. But I don't know if it's an appeal, if it's a title that appeals to me anymore. I'm part of me is still kind of sad, but as much as I used to play it, I have zero desire to go back to it. Right. And I don't, and we all thought that, oh, you know, World War II is going to be that return to roots and it was going to pull me back in. But I think with so many shooters now out in the space between PUBG and now, you know, I'll throw Fortnite in there, but I don't play it. You know, Rainbow Six Siege, we've got, you know, Division, we have Ghost Recon Wildlands, Battlefield. I mean, I'll throw Battlefront in there, but I mean, there's so many options right now. There's not an option. Call of Duty just doesn't appeal for me anymore. So I've got no desire or need to want to jump back into that.
So I'm in the same boat of I'm not the big Call of Duty fan anymore that I used to be. I did enjoy some of the multiplayer modes of World War II, but Call of Duty isn't something that I highly anticipate every year. We're obviously a small minority when it comes to that because it is still the number one selling game every year. Yep. Even though it has shown a decline, it's still number one. I view the October thing a couple ways. I see, obviously, you look at a Red Dead that's going to come out in October. And you see, and I'm looking at it from an Activision standpoint, and you see the decline of what Destiny 2 is right now. Mm-hmm. I think both of those factor into this. I think Activision's thinking is, let's change it up a little bit. Instead of sticking in November, let's come out early. Not to mention, Xbox is probably going to have Halo 6, something like that, around that time as well. So, and we don't know what Ubisoft's big fall game is going to be. So we know October is going to be stacked full of games. I think Activision is like, you know what? We're going to force gamers that can only buy one game a year that would normally buy Call of Duty. We're going to come out first. So you got to make a choice. Either you stick with what you know or you pass on us and you go get Red Dead, right? Because I think Red Dead is probably the biggest competition they're going to have this year, right? So I think they're just like, let's get out in front of this. Let's try something different. And if the Destiny expansion sales aren't what we want them to be in September, at least we can come right back the next month and pick up the momentum again. And now we have a longer window in the holiday by coming out earlier as well. I fully expect Call of Duty to still be the number one selling game for 2018, with their biggest competition, like I said, being Red Dead. Now, there may be a certain someone that isn't on this podcast right now that thinks that Activision is shook over Red Dead and that's why they're coming out early. Maybe. But I think when you're number one, everyone's chasing you, not the other way around. So whether they'd have stayed in November or they'd have come out in October, in my personal opinion, I still think it would be the number one selling game because
agreed. And that's why I said that earlier. Yeah. It's still going to win. It's still going to be the GOAT for 2018 sales.
Oh, this is what I want to bring up. That's what I'm going to bring up. Shout out to Elgato. Sent me over their green screen. So I now have the Elgato green screen. So I will definitely be taking full advantage of that and streaming games more. I just started, excuse me. I just started playing Horizon Zero Dawn again from scratch. And I'm having a blast with it. It's such a great game. And it's funny playing it a year later from when it originally launched and just seeing how it, like a game like Far Cry 5 is about to come out, things like that. And obviously we played other open world games. Obviously The Witcher is something I'm big in. And, you know, it just reminded me all over again why that game was it, why it was a game of the year contender last year. It's that good. And I haven't even played Frozen Wilds yet, the DLC, which when I do this playthrough.
I haven't even touched any of those. Yeah. I've touched the main campaign, but I've never touched any of the DLC. I haven't even put in enough time to have beaten the game. So that's something that's probably seriously different. I probably should put time into that.
Yeah, I for sure. It's a really good game. I highly recommend anyone with a PlayStation 4 picking it up. And like I was saying, when I do this playthrough, I'm just going to naturally just transition right into the DLC from there. Another game that I'm not going to play this weekend is the Sea of Thieves. Their final beta is out this weekend. Mm. I'm convinced. There's no need to play it anymore. I will want to play it at launch. It's not, you know, Destiny or Division or any some hardcore open world looter shooter game, but it's fun. It's definitely a more casual approach to it. Something you get with your buddies, sail the high seas, go hunt for treasure, do things like that. A lot of fun. And the fact that I can play it on my Windows 10 PC and I can play with you guys on your Xbox, it's great. I'm really looking forward to that. Speaking of, and I'll be quiet here. Shout out to Fat Kid Deals. I've always joked about Xbox One X. I go, when it's less than $400, I'm going to get it, right? I've been saying that for the longest. And they're in on the joke, so they'll tweet at me every now and again. So sure enough, there was a deal going on where I could get an Xbox One X with this promo code for $350. And I had it in the cart, and I was like, I'm going to get it. And I'm like, Paris, what the hell are you doing? You don't want an Xbox One X. And then I took it out of the cart.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And then I tweeted back at Fat Kid's Deal, and they were like, whoever runs that social media account was like, I don't know what I got to do then. I did what you asked, and you still didn't get it.
300.
Yeah.
Get it to me for 300. That's amazing.
Yeah.
All right. I think we're going to wrap it up. But once again, thanks everyone for listening. Want to check us out? Check us out at gamertagradio.com. You can check us out on all your favorite podcast directories, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher. Shout out to Danny, who's not here, but you know, if you want to check out the documentary, obviously go to story.gamertagradio.com. It's a 1-hour watch through. You can check it out on our Twitch channel under our videos, or you can just go to story.gamertagradio.com. Also, be on the lookout. We just released earlier this week episode 2 of the Far Cry 5 Hope County Stories series. It's been fun going through that little journey with you two. I think it was an amazing opportunity for us to rip open the creative stuff. So shout out to Ubisoft for helping us out on that, and hope you guys are enjoying that whole series. So that's it. Thanks everyone for tuning in, and we'll check you on the flip side.
For listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.